Okay. All right, lie on your backs. They're dealing with a paper jam, and as soon as they get that dealt with, she'll take the lights out. So, okay. All right, let your arms go down by your sides. And get a sense of your right arm and the distance between the side of your body and the arm. There's usually a space there. So just get a sense of the space between the right side of your body and the right arm, and then compare it with the left without changing your arms. Just notice. One arm may be lying a little closer. Maybe the shape in there is contoured a different way. Just notice a difference between both arms. And put your attention in your right hand and notice how you've put your right hand on the floor. Where is it contacting? Is your palm up, palm down, rotated in a certain way? How does the hand rest? And how much work is in that hand? How released are the fingers and the palm, or how fisting are the fingers and palm? And then compare it to the other side, to your left hand. And just see, how have you put your left hand right now on the floor? How does it rest? Where do you feel the contact? What's the difference with the left hand versus the right? What's the work in the left hand? Which hand has more work in it? Okay, roll over onto your right side. And let's be in a position where your knees are bent, and you can take your bottom arm, which is your right arm, and you can either place it underneath your head or it can be straight at shoulder height. And take your left hand and begin to stretch it out in front of you so that the palm is on the floor. So that's your top hand, your left hand. And you're going to begin to caress the floor in an arc up towards your head and then back so the hand is in front of you. And if you can do that with a more or less straight elbow, caressing towards the top of your head and then, or above your head, I should say, not actually touching your head, but on the floor, and then letting the arm kind of make an arc motion down towards your knees. As you continue the arc around your head, there will be a point where your hand will flip from palm down to palm up. Can you explore where that is? So you're taking your hand in a semicircle or an arc motion, and you're exploring the point at which the hand starts to turn on the floor, with the idea of keeping contact all the time. That's the idea. It may not be achievable from the get-go. Now, to keep contact with your hand as it goes behind you, allow your shoulder to roll backwards and your chest to roll backwards, and you can continue making a circle with your arm and then reverse it and roll your chest and head a little forward and sweep the arm around your head till the arm gets in front of you. So go back and forth with this top arm, this left arm, relatively straight, the hand on the floor, caressing in a circle around oneself. Now, as you go behind yourself, you can continue the circle, and the arm and the hand will flip once again as it goes down towards your pelvis. And then to ride over your pelvis, just let your hand caress over your thigh, over the terrain of your thigh, until it comes back into the front. and then you'll have the floor again. So in this fashion, very slowly and methodically, circle the hand around you. If there's any part of the circle that feels too difficult to do, just approach it from one direction and then retreat and then approach it from the other direction. So it's not necessary that you create a full circle at this moment if it's uncomfortable for you. Good. Everyone rest for a moment. Rest on your side. Let's see what happens if you put the lower arm, which in this case is your right arm, outstretched at shoulder height. That's it. And then use your left arm like you're going to do a push-up. So the hand is on the floor standing and the elbow is bent. Could you simply roll yourself more forward over this bottom arm and then roll yourself a little bit backwards? So it's as if you're rolling over the shoulder and then off the shoulder. Very slowly, figure out how to do that motion. If your neck needs support, just put a pillow, maybe a couple rolled up towels or a blanket under your head. If it's too difficult for your neck, please support yourself. So it's as if you're rolling a bit onto your belly and a bit onto your back. And can you recalibrate and find a better place for that bottom shoulder? Just feel. Put the shoulder blade in a different place slightly and begin to do this again. Rolling, in a sense, over the shoulder. And the shoulder is outstretched perpendicular to your body. The arm is perpendicular to your body, out at shoulder height. Now, what happens with the palm? Where should it be? Let's everybody try palm down. The palm on the floor. Be very gentle as you do this. I'm talking the bottom hand, the left hand. So for some, it's very difficult. Have your arms stretched out at shoulder height. The bottom arm, the left arm. The left arm. I'm sorry, I'm saying left and I mean right. The bottom arm, the right arm. There you go. And have it palm down. And see what it's like to roll over this right shoulder with the palm down. Now put the palm up and compare. One of them's going to be easier. And I want you to find out which one's easier. When the bottom arm, your right arm, is at shoulder height, outstretched, and you are rolling yourself over that bottom shoulder, is it easier with the palm up or the palm down? Good. Rest on your back. And see if you can feel the difference in your shoulders or in the arms from doing that little exploration. Roll your head a little bit to one side. Know which side did you pick and roll it back to the middle. And continue to do that side several times, just to that one side that was your first choice. And then let your head hover in the middle and compare to the other side. May not feel equal at all, and that's okay. See what this new side feels like. And there's a reason you chose your first, eh? Go back to the first side. And explore that first side. Just taking your head from center to that preferred side. Good, rest yourself. Once again, roll onto your right side. Begin again in exploration with the left hand circling around yourself, circling so that it has contact on the floor. When it passes over your body, you caress over the thigh or over the pelvis so that at all times the hand has a place of contact. And you use yourself to serve the arm. What do I mean by that? Basically, you're not restricted in movement. Your chest can move, your legs can move a bit, your spine certainly can move. More or less you're staying on your side, but there's a lot of movement range within sideline. That's good. And if you haven't explored the other direction, go ahead and do so. Good. Bring this to a close where you're laying on your side. Simply roll off that bottom shoulder onto your back and rest on your back. Feel that idea of rolling over the shoulder. Part of the beauty of a lesson like this, excuse me, is that we begin to connect our arm further into ourselves. We root it further in, not just at the glenohumeral shoulder joint, that ball and socket joint, but we root it further in. But please take care that you're not straining your shoulder joint in the process of trying to improve it. So do only what's comfortable. Does anyone need heat on? Yes. Okay. Okay, let's continue to work with our left shoulder via lying on the left side now. So roll over onto the left side. Good. And bring the left arm out at shoulder height. And let the right palm be on the floor, the right elbow is bent a little bit, and use the right hand to help let yourself roll off the shoulder and onto the shoulder. So you're rolling a little bit forward, and you're rolling a little bit backward, over the bottom left shoulder. That's it. Explore that a little bit. If it's hard for your head to be all the way down, we'll put a pillow under your head. Let's see if we can find something for you. Very gently. And there's a phenomenon that I want you to explore. As you roll off the shoulder, which is almost rolling a little bit towards your back, your head, it's quite easy for it to be supported on the floor. As you roll forward, can you pick up your head a little bit? As if you were going to look up? So roll forward and pick up your head just a little bit. You may not see the wall, but the head picks up. The back of the head goes backwards. Yeah. Just a little bit. Enough to give you a little bit of lengthening. So as you roll forward over that bottom shoulder, there's a moment where the back of your head goes backwards and you pick your head up, like as if you wanted to see something. Uh-huh. It's the moment as you start to go towards your belly. That's it. Just gently. You may not see the wall. It's just a little bit of the picking up. Mm-hmm. Right there, it picks up a little bit. Okay, good. Roll on your back and rest. This is kind of a bulky pillow. I don't know if that'll... It may be too big. Yeah. Roll your head a little bit to one side and to the middle. See how that is. How free is your head? Cultivate the area where it's free. So you may feel as you roll, it's free in a certain thing, and then you feel like you have to push. Could you just cultivate right where it's free? And then roll it back and roll it to the other side, only where it's free. Just see. It's unnecessary to push your head to do more. It'll end up doing more in the context of this lesson. So you're just seeing, oh, here it feels like a knife cutting through smooth, soft butter. That's the quality. Good. Roll back onto that left side. And we all have our knees bent, and they're bent sort of like an equilateral triangle. They're sort of a 60-degree bend. And could you take that top leg, which is your right leg, and can you maintain the knee as it is bent at that 60-degree angle or whatever, and lift the top leg off the bottom a little bit and bring the top leg forward, i.e. your knee kind of comes to your chest a little bit, and then send the leg behind. But you maintain the knee at its similar bending. Mm-hmm. You're just swinging the leg a little bit forward and a little bit behind. See how that is. The spine will do something in terms of flexing and extending. Flexing means curling up like a little ball, and extending means what we know as arch. But it's not just the lower back. Think of the whole spine. When the knee comes forward, the whole spine goes more towards being in a little ball. And when the knee goes behind, the spine lengthens in the front. Good. Put your leg down and rest. Let's see if we can add a component of your head with that. So, supporting yourself with your right arm in front. Your right arm is... Hand is standing, elbow bent. Every time your knee swings in front, also bring your head and your knee closer together. When your leg swings behind, think of the back of your head going backwards. So you're going to start to pick up your head a little bit so that your head can go forward and back in a pattern with the leg. So more and more as you do this, you begin to realize it's not a head and it's not a leg. It's a spine generating the pattern. It's a spine that is flexing, lengthening in the back, lengthening in the front, lengthening in the back, lengthening in the front. You feel yourself getting longer in the back and then longer in the front. Good. Rest for a moment. It's a tiring one, so you give it up. You rest. The more you connect with the spine as the primary mover in this, the easier it is for your hip. The musculature won't get so tired, and the easier it is to pick up your head. Because both the leg and the head have a fair amount of weight. And we need to organize ourselves proximally in the center to carry that weight. Good. Take now, again, laying on your left side. Roll back over there. Your knees are bent at that 60-degree angle. Take your right hand and wrap it around your head so you're holding your left temple. So you really can hold the weight of your head. There you go. Place your right leg a little bit behind you. Here's the movement. The movement is going to be picking up that top leg, which is your right leg, and picking up your head at the same time, and then putting the head down and putting the leg down. So you pick the knee up. Up, up, up. Head goes up, and then everything comes down.
Is the
top leg straight? No, it's bent. Although it doesn't matter as that much. There you go. Good. Rest that. Lovely. Rest. Stay on your side. So there's a phenomena of, do I just move the leg or am I moving the hip pelvis too? When I say hip, to me, hip is not just the leg. Hip is two components. One is the pelvis and one is the femur bone, right? Ball and socket. So hip to me also means pelvis. Let's find out what it means to move your pelvis. So you're just laying there. Put your hand, when we put our hands on our hips, we actually put our hand on our pelvis. Can you do that with your top hand so you just kind of feel your pelvis? There you go. You know like where you would rest your hands when they call it putting your arms akimbo, right? Where you're right on the top of your pelvis. You can take the pelvis and you can hike it up towards your ear. And then you can take the pelvis and you can send it away towards the floor or away from the ear. You can do that a few times. See if you can rock your pelvis up and down. That's it. That's it. Hiking it up and then pushing it down. It's not so clear for some people. Hiking up is pretty clear. Okay, rest for a moment. Let's see if we can do another variation to make it clear for those who it's not clear. Can you prop up on your elbow and forearm in this position? Take your left elbow and forearm right underneath you and just prop. As if you were going to read a magazine at the beach. Yeah, perfect. Just prop on your side. There you go. Now, in this position when you're propped, actually totally on the forearm, okay? You're not holding your head. You're totally on the forearm, meaning your hand and your forearm and your elbow are on the floor. I'll say it again. Your hand, your elbow, and your forearm are on the floor and you're propped. Okay. In that position, you'll notice that the hip tends to want to hike up, right? Let's do a motion of sending the hip away, pressing through the elbow and sending the hip away. Beautiful. And then release into your prop. That's it. If you can prop here like that, if you can. There you go. And then you can begin letting the hip hike, which is just sort of gravitational hanging, and then push the hip away as you push the elbow. And this will really move your waist and your rib cage. Do you feel that? Big movement. Especially when you push it away. It arcs your ribs. There you go. Good. Put the top hand on your head. Hold your left temple. And as you send your hip away, let your head go horizontal, i.e. your right elbow and your right hip go away from each other, and then you release and they go a little more towards each other. Gently. That's it. Get the sense that your rib cage can bend. Lovely. It's tiring work. You may need a rest. Come on down and give it up. Rest on your side and then roll over onto your back. Excellent. Excellent ideas. These are ideas you have to take very slowly, because inherently this lesson has the main constraint of the hand staying on the floor and making a circle, but this lesson does not have a lot of constraints. It gives you a lot of freedom to find and fine-tune. So in a way, it's a very advanced lesson in that way. It doesn't box you in so that you have to find exactly the thing. It gives you a lot of freedom for you to eventually find it on your own. So you proceed slower with lessons like this and more detailed with lessons like this. Good. See if you are doing well and you're improved, or if you're worse for wear and tear, then you know at this point you need to proceed slower, more cautiously in some ways, more detailed. Roll onto your left side again. Putting the awareness into our left side. Let's look at this movement. Let's bring the arm out straight from our body, the left arm I'm speaking of, and the palm is up. So it's 90 degrees to your body at shoulder height, the left arm. Now, the right arm is going to be on the floor a little bit above that, like you're going to do a push-up position. Now, let's look at the movement that would pass this left arm from in front of our bodies, which it is right now, to behind your bodies. It's going to have to pass underneath. So if you bend the elbow, pass the elbow underneath a little bit. You're going to have to lift your ribs a little bit. But not your head. You don't have to lift your head. Right? And then shoot the arm straight forward again. And you can do this in a way that you can contort your ribs and your pelvis without having to sit up and lift your head. Just passing the arm. The elbow can stay bent as it goes. There you go. Beautiful. That's the idea. Maybe you use a pillow for your head. Yeah. Make it a little easier.
Between the
oh, and you know what? This mat doesn't slide very well, so that might be hard too. Maybe you use a little bit of this pillow or something. Yeah. Gently. Gently. And don't worry about, you can just lay on your arm. Just stick the elbow behind. Just get the idea that those ribs can move out of the way and make a little space. Gently. You have to do a lot of interesting contortion to make this happen. To protect that bottom shoulder. Yes, that's lovely. That's lovely. And you're running the same thing. Your mat is a little bit sticky, so, you know, it's a question of maybe the floor is better for you, but maybe the mat is good because it's padded. So this works best on a slippery surface. Good. Let the arm come in front now. Oh, yes, yes, yes. It'll be over soon. Good. With the lower arm, begin caressing upward and making a circle up towards the top of your head. And guess what? There'll be a moment where your head has to pass in front of the arm. So just do that. Pass the head in front of the arm, and then pass the head in back of the arm and circle the hand back into the front. So there's two places that the arm has to get under your body. One is it's got to get under the head as it goes up and around, and the other is it has to get underneath the rib cage. So we're working on just one or the other, or if you've got the whole circle going, you can make the whole circle. But feel free to just explore passing your head in front of and behind the arm. And notice that the palm will turn. It has to. Otherwise, your shoulder will not thank you in the morning. That's it. Be gentle on that bottom shoulder. Contort yourself so that the bottom shoulder, i.e. the left shoulder, remains safe. Do whatever you need to do to remain safe and easy. It's about suppleness in the rib cage and not over-wrenching your shoulder joint. Okay? So there's places in the circle that are very finicky, that are difficult because they require a lot of movement of the rest of you so that the shoulder joint is safe. So whether you do the whole thing or not, or whether you're just figuring out part of it, you're going to improve. Don't roll all the way over onto your belly. Basically, you stay on your side. There's a lot of rolling and twisting and contorting, but it's not an idea of going all the way fully onto the belly or all the way fully onto the side. I mean, the back. Lovely. Good. Why don't we all give that up and roll onto your back? Just take a moment to rest. The first time a Feldenkrais practitioner suggested this to me, the bottom shoulder go around, I thought he was nuts. I was a physical therapist. I thought he was nuts. I thought, yeah. What's so great about it? That's terrible for my shoulder, right? It's because I had no inkling of what to do in my torso. It's a constraint. Moshe's using it as a constraint. So you have to figure out how you can move around it. It's a very useful idea. Not all the way. No. I.e., you must twist. And extend and flex and side bend. Huh? I'm going to try it again. Okay. Let's try it again. Go ahead over onto your left side again. Now, if you were exploring the circle just in one direction, perhaps you go into the other direction. And I say circle, but really what I mean is maybe you start out with a quarter of the arc or an eighth of the arc, and you go back and forth and back and forth. You're going to find a part of the circle that feels really good. So do the easier part first. So the bottom arm, which is your left arm, is creating a circle around yourself, and you are moving around it to accommodate this idea. That's it. What do you have to do with the head?
Are we doing the reverse?
In direction, yeah. But still the left arm. So you're looking at reversing the idea and going back and forth. Go both directions, but it's always the left arm. I'll move that for you. So there you pass your head. Leave your head as much as you can, leave your head down. Pass that arm under. There you go. Now, leave the hand on the floor as much as possible. As much as possible. Oh, there's your interesting place. Yeah, you feel interesting. What do you have to do with your torso? And now, pass your head behind the arm. That's it. It's got to flip. It's got to... There you go. And then down you go. With the constraint of the arm really having... The hand having contact, you have to do a lot of movement to make it safe for yourself. Do you feel? The pelvis. This leg doesn't have to be completely immobile. It can do different things. Okay? So, yeah, you figure out. Good. You're still on your belly going, how do I do it without getting on my belly all the way? No, you don't have to be on your belly all the way. Okay, good. Shall we give it up? Roll on your back. Knowing when to quit is always a good thing. By the way, you can rest anytime. You know that. In any Feldenkrais lesson, that's always not only your prerogative, it's your directive. Rest when you need. And there's, I'll just talk about resting for a moment, because there's really different ideas of resting. So resting can be, I'm fatigued, I need to rest. Resting can be, I'm satisfied. Oh, I'm just satisfied, I'm satiated, I need to rest. Resting can be, my mind is wandering and I'm no longer paying attention. I think I'll rest because otherwise I'm not embodying myself. And then another reason, a very good reason to rest, is when you find yourself compelled. Like you're going to do it, you know, no matter what, I'm going to do this movement. When you find that compulsion, rest. Stop. Rest. Because there, really what's happening is you do not have the organization and you're actually just powering through, and you're actually in impotence or incompetence and you're just adding willpower and effort, that's when we damage in some way. We strain ourselves. So that usually is never a place of learning. So it's best to just give it up. And in my training, I had to do that a lot because I'm this sort of, I don't know, I would have described myself as sort of an achiever, overachiever kind of student. I wanted to get everything well, and it was really hard. And part of my best learning was just knowing, okay, I'm in that zone and I'm no longer learning. I'm just competing with an idea, or I'm competing with my neighbor, and that's ridiculous. In the Feldenkrais method, that's pretty ridiculous. So resting is good for that reason too. Okay, go over on your right side again. The side we started on. And we started with the left arm making a circle around ourselves. So now we're on the top arm, still with the left arm. See what it's like now to circle the left arm around yourself, laying on your right side. See if it's gotten any easier, or if you feel in a way more rooted or more connected in places. Maybe the movement is calmer. Maybe it has a luxurious feeling in part of the range. Maybe there's now a mood to it. Again, you needn't do the whole circle unless you really like it. We're working with the top arm, the left arm, still with the left arm. Left arm, left arm, circling around yourself. That's it. Good. Reverse your direction if you haven't already. So right here, start again. Go in the front. I'm working with a student here. And right here, the idea is, how can you not fully roll the pelvis onto your back? Yeah, I mean, it's negotiable, right? But that's the idea. How do you get enough differentiation in the chest and in the torso so that one maintains more or less sideline? Good. Give that up and rest on your back. Say hello to that left arm and feel how it is. Where are its roots inside? Where do you feel enlivened? It may not be anatomically where you think, right? But just feel, how does that arm connect into my center? Or into the rest of me? It could be into my head, into my face, into my pelvis, into my ribs, into my chest, into my foot. It doesn't have to be just the torso. What's the sense of spaciousness within the connections of the left arm? Could you please roll your head and feel, does it roll more easily to one side than the other? Is the freedom increased somewhere? Or you can look for increasing freedom as more range of motion. But increasing freedom could also mean, oh, I feel connected here. I roll the head just a little bit. Oh, I feel that. I feel that. I feel that. I feel that. Connecting so that you're more than just a head that's rolling. You are a whole being that happens to be rolling your head with connectedness. That's also a sign of improvement. The more complete your self-image of yourself with any task, the more improved you are. That's good. and rest. And feel, are you better at resting? Let's roll to your side and come into kneeling on your knees. And you're going to go in what I call as half kneeling, which you're going to take your right foot and you're going to stand your right foot. So you'll be on your left knee and your right foot will be in front. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Prince Charming. Yeah. And not like you're a runner. Come right up, upright. The torso upright. Hands free. Yep. Kneeling. There you go. In this position, take your right hand and put it on your right knee. Just kind of find where you need to be stable. Fool around with the foot. You know. There you go. With the left arm, make a circle in this sort of plane, which would be, help me out, your satchel plane, right? As if you had a bucket in your hands, right? And if you follow the bucket or follow your fingertips, you'll begin to connect the arm all the way around yourself. Follow your hand. Follow your hand with your eyes. Look at your hand. Look at your hand. Look, 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 look. That's it. That's it. Then your rib cage, your torso, your hips, everything comes into play. That's it. The floor provided us that constraint, right? The floor is in that sagittal plane when we're on our sides. Now you're in free space and I'm just asking you to duplicate the sagittal plane. If you duplicate the sagittal plane, you must involve the torso and you must involve the pelvis. If you don't, freeze yourself like you're in concrete, right? Just like straight. Like everybody look ahead, right? Don't let any twisting or anything happen. You can still circle your arm. Go ahead and circle your arm. It won't be in the sagittal plane though. You'll be describing a cone or something out here. It won't really be in the sagittal plane. Now, make it in the sagittal plane. And maybe change the direction. And when you're in the sagittal plane, there is a place where the hand flips. There's two places actually where the hand flips, just like when you were on the floor. Yes. Connected all the way and even into the hips. There you go. Uh-huh. Good. And it's tiring. That's your signal to rest. Right? Go ahead and rest. Go ahead on your back. Rest. Lay down. That's it. Give it up. Note the differences, one side of you versus the other side of you. Do you feel any changes in the face? Look for the edges of the eyes, corners of the eyes. How do they feel? Corners of the mouth, the laugh line, the flare of the nostril. How is it on one side versus the other side? You feel a change in your face. Maybe. Let's roll up and we'll stand up. Roll up to sit and stand. And we have a mirror in this room. So if you can approach the mirror neutral and not be expressive, look at the mirror and just stand there. Come close so you can see yourself. And see if one eye seems more open than the other. So you're not trying to make a face or open your eye or whatever. Just look at one side of your face versus the other. And ask yourself, is one eye more open than the other? What's the difference? Do you see a difference? You'll know right away if it's there or not. And then go back onto your mat. Yeah? Anyone see a difference? Sometimes not so much. Some people see a big difference. Okay. Now, lie on your left side. And we're going to put the attention now into the right arm. So, begin with your right arm. Begin making a circle, but maybe just the front part. So take, it's your top arm. Just go from your knees and then approaching over your head and feel. Feel, as you make a circle, if it's not an oval, there is that forward motion where you roll over that bottom arm a little bit, right? Because a true circle is a true, you know, it has to extend forward when it's at shoulder height, right? So there is a little bit of that rolling forward, unless you're doing an oval, which is not what's being asked for. There you go. And notice, as you approach over your head, there'll be that moment where the hand will turn. And maybe play with that moment a little bit and go back and forth. That can be a difficult moment. If it's difficult for your shoulder, you just approach the difficulty and you stop before the difficulty. And let your arm swing down all the way to your knees and let it pass over your thigh and pass over your pelvis. And find the floor behind you. The idea being that there's a lot of rolling over that bottom shoulder, extending, reaching supple in the torso, allowing the ribs to move, the pelvis to move, and just see how that is to make a circle. If you've been doing one direction, you'll pass yourself in the other direction and just see. And again, you needn't do the whole circle. It can be portions of it. In Montreal, they would say, comme tu veux, as you like, to your pleasure. That's lovely. Lovely. Some of you are just doing portions, figuring out a portion because it feels interesting to you to do so. When you need to, you rest on your back. And everyone, come to be on your back. Imagine your spine, your centrality of yourself, and imagine flexing into a little ball, and then imagine unfurling out of that ball and lengthening out towards extension or towards full upright, and then imagine curling into a little ball again. And then coming out of that. Please roll on your right side. And on your right side, again, imagine the idea of coming into a ball, curling in. Where would you start that movement? Inside. That would be your back going backwards. Your back lengthening backwards. Could you actually do that movement a little bit? Take your back backwards a little bit. There you go. And then pulse out of that back to where you were. Many times it's a smidgen little movement. Take your back backwards. There's muscles involved. You'll do something to make a movement. Anytime there's a movement, there's muscles involved typically. That's it. Think of looking down as you take your back backwards. Look down a little bit. And then as you come out of that and you take your chest forward a little bit, the back of your head goes backwards a little bit and you look up. You can do this all with closed eyes. These movements are very small. So you're, in a way, thinking of curling into a ball and lengthening the back of your back. And then reversing that and lengthening your front side, taking the back of your head backwards a little bit, and the belly elongates. Of
go back and forth in this teeny little minute thing, which, by the way, uses a lot of muscles of your torso. That's the idea. Can everyone touch the back of their head? Feel the back of your head. Hold the back of the skull. Okay? Think in your hand. Move the back of your head backwards a smidgen. Feel that idea of the back of your head moving backwards. Good. Now tuck your chin a little bit. That's the back of your head moving forwards. And move the back of your head backwards. Just feel it with your hand. Just a little movement. It's not a very big one. Good. Now let go for a moment and rest. It's just to help you locate where the back of your head is. And go back to this idea of moving your torso so that you can let go of your head. Now that you've just located your head. Go back to the movement of looking down as your back moves backwards, rolling into a little ball in your imagination, and then unfurling and letting the back of your head move backwards as your belly moves forward and your chest moves forward. It's the same movement we were doing. We've just located the head. That's it. That's it. Feel inside, somewhere in the gut, in the chest, in the pelvis. These movements are generated internally. So that the head doesn't move arbitrarily. You start the movement from the middle. And it just happens that the head follows it. So it's a very small movement of the head. Or it's as big as you need it to be. But the head's not a separate thing. It's connected. There's a reason that the head's moving. There's a reason you're looking down. There's a reason you're looking up. Very good. Rest. Now, take the top arm, which is your left arm, and loop it around your head so that you can grasp your temple, your bottom temple, which is your right. You can tell I have a problem with right and left. I keep going top and bottom. But you all get the idea. The left arm is wrapping around your head, holding your right temple. Lay on your side. And you're going to pick up the top leg, which is your left leg, and you're going to let the head and the left knee approach each other in the front and then approach each other from behind, which is swinging your head a little forward, swinging your head a little bit behind. Small, small. Lengthening out the front of your torso as you do that, and then lengthening out the back of your back. There you go. Central. It's generated central. You have a head and you have a leg, but the movement generated centrally. Small. Good. Rest when you need it. It's a demanding thing. If your leg's getting tired, your hip's getting tired, your neck's getting tired, certainly rest. Let's try it without holding on to the head. Let's put the left hand in front somewhere, maybe for push-ups so it has a little support. And just again, the upper leg, the left leg and the head approach each other. You bring your back backwards and then the knee and the back of the head approach each other in the back and you bring your spine forward. So your spine's going back and forth in a flexion and an extension idea. These are small movements. That's it. That's lovely. Right on the money, you. Yes, yes, yes. Do you have your chest and the area between your shoulder blades in your self-image of this movement? Is your belly in there? Are your ribs in there? Good. Rest for a moment. So your challenge is interesting because you do so much. You're like me. You do so much in your lower back. You know, and you can make the whole thing come from your lower back and then you'll wonder, that's a lot of my low back. So you, in a way, you have to figure out how to move more into here and not do your same old, which is you just have a very high capacity to know how to move there. Yeah, it's just an idea. Yeah, so yes, something in through here, something chesty, something, yeah, not all low backy. Sounds so non-medical. Go ahead and rest on your back. There you go. Roll over. Rest.
Roll your head a little bit. One side and then the other side. Lovely. That's it. Slowly. Feel if it's connected. If your head is not connected to you, don't do the movement. Or do the movement in such a way that it can be connected. That's another way of saying that. More positive way of saying that. There's a difference between rolling your head and spinning your head. Rolling your head traverses in space. Spinning your head, it's like a basketball where it spins on a finger. Your head stays in the same place. I'd like you to roll your head. So you will feel, if you had chalk on the back of your head, it would be making like an arc kind of pattern on the floor. You know, if you had paint on the back of your head, you'd be actually making a smear. That's it. Okay, good. Roll back onto that right side. Remember the idea where we pass the elbow underneath the rib cage? Would you lay with your right arm at shoulder height, palm up? Make your left hand be above the right arm. There you go. For a push-up, because it's going to help you. You're going to need to lift the ribs so that you can pass the right elbow underneath. Mm-hmm. And you'll be like laying on it a little bit. So let's just do this. Let's just pass the elbow a little bit underneath, but the whole arm doesn't go. And then pass the elbow in front. Just that smidgen of the movement. Bend the elbow, pass it behind. And then straighten the elbow, the arm passes in front. That's it. Just that. You'll notice you have to do something with the hip. Send it away, right? It has to make room for the ribs to lift. That's beautiful. The knees are bent to allow you to do that. So bring your arm in the front. We don't have to do the whole king caboodle right at first. So there you are. Just pass this elbow underneath. Lift, pass it. There, and you kind of like lay on it a little bit. And then pass the arm straight forward again. There you go. Just that little smidgen, and feel how you have to use your hip. Go ahead, keep doing. See how you have to kind of make room? Uh-huh. Okay, rest for a moment. Most of you have this idea, but not everyone. Go ahead on your back. Rest for a moment. A little humor goes a long way. So there's something that the ribs and the hip have to do to make room. Otherwise, you end up having to sit up or you hurt your shoulder. So this is a quick rest. Go back onto the right side. Remember when we propped on the elbow and the forearm and the hand? Prop up like you're at the beach reading a magazine. Prop up. Prop. Forearm, elbow, hand. There you go. And you can feel, in your, as you're propped like that, you'll feel your ribs are hanging and kind of stretching out on that right side. And by naturally, the left hip will be hiked up, right? We're going to do a movement of sending the left hip away and pressing through the right shoulder, the right elbow, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go back and forth. The hip goes up, the hip goes down. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's it. Press through the elbow to do that. Yeah, can you feel your ribs lift?
Yeah.
And then here,
they drop. I can feel it in the lower right side.
Is it too much?
No, it feels good actually.
You like that stretch?
Mm-hmm.
Drop those ribs. There. Those ribs can move.
And everything just cracks in place.
Everything cracks. Hopefully, free chiropractic.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Good. So that's the movement of the hip hiking and the hip going away. Good. Rest. That movement has to happen to pass the arm underneath. Something has to happen with the pelvis to let the ribs unweight. Otherwise, the ribs weigh a ton and there's no space for the arm to get underneath and you pinch your shoulder. We don't want that. Rest. And then we'll put it into practice. You learn a little skill and you put it into the function. And our function tonight is, how do I get the arm, the lower arm, underneath my body comfortably?
That's the function. See how useful that is? It will be useful for you when you... It's useful in many ways, but at any rate, go on your right side again. And once again, go back to the movement where your right arm is outstretched at shoulder height. That's the bottom arm. The palm is up. You've taken your left arm and you've put it above the right arm so it doesn't get crisscrossed in your way. And your right arm is like you're going to do a push-up. It can help you. Now, you'll have to lift the ribs a little bit, send the hip away to pass the arm behind you. If you're very agile with your ribs and pelvis, the head gets to stay on the ground. Now, not everybody is at that right now, but it's a possibility that the head doesn't ever have to even pick up if you're agile enough. And passing the arm behind and passing the arm in front. And then eventually, you get to start to make your circle. There's two ways of passing it under the body, right? You've got to lift the ribs at one point. And then the other way is you have to lift the head. It's the head has to kind of pass over it, or the arm passes underneath the head. And you can begin to do a full circle, knowing that it's totally allowed to do stuff with your pelvis and your ribs so that you're comfortable on your shoulder. Make it good for yourself. If your head has to lift, do it. Always make it safe. Ultimately, you'll become supple enough that the head doesn't have to lift, but the head moves. Head moves, though. Head does a lot of movement. So when I said the head doesn't have to lift in space, ultimately, no, but the head does a lot of movement to accommodate this. At times, the back of the head is going back. At times, it's rolling. At times, it's flexing. As is the center of your spine and your chest. That's it. And your ribs, supple, to allow this to happen. Look at you go. It's so fun when someone who didn't have it at the beginning has it. And it's fun for that person too. You go, oh, I'm getting this. It's a wonderful ownership. But don't struggle. It's not the idea. Do a portion of the circle. Who cares? It's only a movement. Are you breathing? Good. Good, 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 good. Ah. And when you're satisfied, you'll know, and I'll know because you'll rest on your back. Everybody resting at this point. Rolling over, spilling it over onto the floor, feeling the support of the floor, feeling how your arm now connects in. Where are its roots? Where are its echoes? Roll your head. Look for the same thing. Look for ease of movement. Look for connectedness. How does it affect your shoulder blade? How does it affect your clavicle, which is also known as your collarbone? What happens in the chest as you roll? Do you have a sense of your ribs, the sides of your ribs? Do you have a sense of your waist? What about your legs, the pelvis? As you roll the head, where are all those echo points? Now here's a funny thing. Many of us, when we roll our head, we think, oh, it's the head. I'm going to roll my head. For a moment, wrap your mind around the concept that you could let your head roll from something more central. Still roll your head. There's still muscular effort and all that. But there's something more central inside of your torso, one could say, that's rolling your head. That's the connector. And then your head freely rolls on top of that. But that is connected. And see if that changes the way you roll your head or how it feels. Good.
Let that go and rest. Roll on your left side and begin to take your right arm, which will now be your top arm, around you in a circle and see if that is now easier. In some way, shape, or fashion. Now, easier could mean I can now do it. Easier can mean where it used to glitch, it doesn't glitch. Easier can mean I don't have pain where I used to have pain. Or easier can mean it's more relaxed. I'm breathing. Easier could mean, oh, my hand actually has contact with more of the circle, if not all of the circle now. Easier could mean my low back knows what to do. My belly releases, my jaw's at ease, all those things. Who knows where for you it's going to be easier. But you're looking for improvement. I'm calling it easier. I mean improvement. Good. Good. Stay on your side. Please come up to sit. Yeah. Circle yourself up. There you go. Come and kneel. Remember we did that idea of the bucket in the hand? So we're going to do it again with the right side. You're going to kneel on your right knee and your left foot. Yeah, the left foot will be in front. And your left hand is on your left knee. Find out, pad your knee if you need it. And then as you do, just circle your right arm. And you're looking for that sagittal plane, circularity. And in order to do that, you'll have to follow your hand a little bit with the torso and the hips. And an easy way to get you to do that is just to say, look at your hand, and that pulls it all together. But it's possible to do it also without looking at the hand. It's just more complicated. Just a couple times, you know, see how it goes. You can pretend you're... Remember Bjorn Borg? I'm thinking of Bjorn Borg. Remember? He was the tennis player. Of a tennis player, they have to throw that ball up and whale that serve, right? They have to have sagittal plane organization to get their power. Maybe even in golf too, although golf's less overhead, but I don't golf. Yeah, good enough, just explore. Good, rest. Come out of that kneeling, come up to standing. Rest and standing. Come off your mat so you feel the floor. And just for a moment, see if organization in the sagittal plane, which I'm sort of dubbing this lesson, it's my own name for it, see what it feels like now to stand. Can you feel your heels? Do you feel the sides of yourself? And are somehow you organized in vertical a little bit differently? How are your arms hanging? Are they hanging? Can you let them hang? Does your torso now have enough organization that it helps keep you up and not the arms? Something central keeps you up and organizes you in upright, not the arms. The arms are meant to be free to do all the neat stuff that they do, not to hold you up. Good, walk. Feel walking. Many, many aspects in this lesson, so you may come out with many varied responses of how now you are. Stop in space for a moment and reach tall up. And see the root of your arm, right? Reach in different places, but especially up, because we worked a lot on up and across. And feel how rooted, how far down. You must feel it in your feet. Often we weight shift. When we want to go really high, we weight shift on one foot. Reach with the other arm. Feel the roots, the connections. Ah, yes, yes, love that kind of reach. Very good connection with your pelvis. Good. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like a morning stretch. Ah. Good. Now just let your arms hang. Good. And feel standing with the arms just hanging. Feel your carriage. Feel your feet, your heels, your pelvis, your tailbone, your hara, center of gravity, the torso. Remember getting very small into the ball. And then extending out where you generated that inside of you. Can you locate that place or those places or that pattern? And feel. Where do you get your central organization from? Where is it? Okay, walk a little bit, roll up your mats, and we're done. Thank you.